What's good? Welcome back to the Pop Off Podcast, a conversation about spits, swallows, and popcorn picks. I'm your host, Ralph Compiano, and I'm joined, as always, by my co-host, Mike Cerrone, who will be joining me next week for the first song draft, the song draft of February. We're doing Machine Gun Kelly, and we are joined by the co-host of Rent Money, which should be coming back here pretty soon, hopefully. Hopefully they're diving into some golf, Jack Turner, a.k.a. Rackburner, a.k.a. Running Back Jones, and also the co-host of the Box Out Boys, Skylar Reisberg. Today he's listed as Jared McCain, hashtag Duke in the T-pop. Start with you, Cerrone. How are you? It's been 24 hours since we last spoke. What's new in the world of Cerrone?
I was going to say, it hasn't been that long. God, what did I do today? Absolutely nothing. You haven't really missed much. Nothing's changed. I'm curious. Wait, do you guys bet on golf? Do you guys going to give me some golf picks?
I like to bet on
not
golf.
Not a big
golf. Casual bet on golf. Big top 10 guy. Top 10s, top 20s. Then you get the whole four-day effect. Actually had a real shit show last weekend. Scotty was tied for 10th since it was a dead heat bet. I lost my money on that one. Was refreshing
Ralph went
a few
off
times.
On golf.
Couldn't figure that one out. Ralph, what do you do?
Waste management.
I had parlay for top five.
Yeah, top five.
Thigala and Scheffler.
And I just like looked at Thigala. I was like, this guy's not going to win it, but he's going to finish towards the top. Because he is like the kind of parents that, you know, he doesn't want to disappoint, but he's not going to like make them too happy. Like, I just don't see him winning. I said some other things that I'm not going to say on a podcast.
Poor guy.
I really liked how he played. He looked like he was going to choke there for a second. And then Scotty just always seems like he's top five, top six, especially at Waste Management. He's won the last 2 years, I think. So, yeah, it was fun. I made some money off of it. But Berg, you guys recorded last night. We released your episode today, but you didn't get a chance to talk about Iowa State and Houston, the actual game. What did you see in that game? Because, I mean, this isn't, you know, our college basketball show, Box Out Boys is, but I watched that game. I'm curious what you guys thought of it.
I mean, as an Iowa State fan, I think I'm always ready to see that team crumble because they're just historically not elite at all. They're a team where the more hope you have in that team, the more they're going to let you down. And so I've been having hope, and they keep winning. And so going into this game, it was Houston's to win. They were going to win the whole time. But I just wanted to see Iowa State put up a fight. I think they did. I was impressed with them defensively. Just think, you know, typical story with Iowa State. Just need that offense to pick up. Just need them to not fold under pressure, stay a little more calm. But I think I'm walking away a little optimistic towards March, though. I liked what I saw from them. It was a competitive, hostile environment.
A lot of Cyclone fans saying, good loss. A bit of a loser's mentality there. But I would say, you know what, hey, they already took Houston at home. Houston was ready to get them back. The crowd was fired up. I haven't watched a lot of Iowa State this year, but you know who was jumping off the screen as just most improved player in college basketball? Ooh. Bobby Jones. This dude used to not be able to even get on the court. Now I see him just working hard on defense, getting rebounds, running the floor. A big Bobby Jones fan.
Yeah, he was
DJ Hotz figured something out with them where he used to play a little more minutes than he should have, and now they put him in for like 3-4 minute spurts. They call it Rob Jones, like hype man Rob Jones. You know, he's going to get the crowd going. I don't know where the heck they got that from because that's not who he is to me. He gets in there for 2-3 spurts, and he'll make some buckets, but you don't want to see that man at the free throw line.
No, they couldn't shoot free throws.
Clear with the new mic.
Yeah, he does sound good. Wow. He sounds really good. I mean, he should be
proud, too. I feel so good.
Yeah, I mean, you sounded like dog shit on Box Out Boys last week, so this is a huge step. You're honestly the Bobby Jones of the podcast network, where, you know, last year it might not have been the brightest of times, but now it's looking up. You're our rim runner.
Turned a big corner.
He's just kind of like the stereotypical big. I liked him, too. I liked Gilbert a lot. His jump shot's really pretty. But it was just like a defensive warfare for the first half. Nobody could get a bucket. And then the second half, like, they were stringing together buckets. It was pretty impressive.
Is Bobby Jones black or white?
Oh, he's black.
He's pretty black.
Light skin.
I was going to say it's way cooler if he's black.
Ralph, you know, you're starting the week or starting the pod with Waste Management Open. There was another sporting event that happened that weekend as well. Reisberg, give me like your 5 minutes after the Kansas City Chiefs repeated as Super Bowl champions.
Oh, we haven't even talked about this yet.
We didn't talk about it. I thought we were going to skate by.
I thought it was over.
We literally
I thought we already. I forgot we had a bye week. Oh, my God.
We had a bye week. We didn't talk about it.
I got to go to the bathroom real quick.
I should have put it above Turner. Fuck. That's like I thought that we were going to be able to skate by it. That's why I went to you first, Cerrone, on the intro. I was like, we'll just go right through it.
I didn't realize that we haven't done a pod yet because we took a bye week. Jesus Christ. You know what? Take this moment. Squeeze it. This is all you get until next season. Fine. That's fine.
I just want to know.
Yeah, I'll give you my rundown on 5 minutes. So yeah, after the Super Bowl, I mean, exhilarating. We were all watching. I was with I was with a few Chiefs fans, and they were – one was definitely in that mentality I was in. You know, this is the most nerve-wracking drive. We do believe, but also, like, you don't know. You don't know. This is the whole season on the line here. And then they won. And I was immediately overcome with all the joy and, you know, gratitude, greatness, just all the feelings that come with winning a Super Bowl. And I looked around, was jumping up, and nobody was there to support me. Everybody I was watching with was super sad. I was like arms out, walking around the party like, is anybody going to give me a hug? Like, no hugs. And so I booked it out of there.
There was no lady locals. Friends. No Chiefs?
No, fans? They were just I don't know what was going on. I blacked out. So maybe somebody was offering a hug, but no, they weren't. So I booked it to the local Chiefs bar. Yeah.
Nice.
There was a guy walking around with a little tomahawk drum, like a little replica that they have in the Chiefs stadium. I beat that shit for a little bit and then carried on with my night. Did. Had a great night.
Oh, damn it.
This is pretty funny. So during the, you know, had a little Super Bowl party, during overtime, the, you know, 49ers come down, kick their field goal. Buddy, I had just met him that night. Buddy stands up, you know, his girlfriend was there too. Guess she was ready to go. Middle of overtime, stood up, left the party. Just a bunch of perturbed people looking around. Like, are these guys for real? What's going on here?
Big word.
A lot of NPCs going on out there at that Super Bowl party. But I don't know. What would you do if you were asked to leave, like, during overtime?
No, babe. Sorry. Like, it's the fucking Super Bowl.
Left it. Was he a Chiefs fan? Was he a Steelers fan?
He's just a bum.
I mean, yeah. Is he a football fan? Like, who the fuck
Dude,
is this guy?
Text, why? I got a text from Hada, like, 4 days later. Sounds, I'm still pissed sounds... off.
Wait, that is he your – was it at your place? Was it like you, Clark, Ross, this all was, the boys?
This was at Topping's place.
Okay. So was like it a Topping guy?
This guy was gluten-free, wasn't he?
There's a lot – I mean, there's things said weeks, would be. And weeks
this,
later.
This guy sounds like he gets dressed sock, shoe.
No, he just has a lot of knee problems. Otherwise, he's a good guy.
Yeah. He also likes
that's Hato.
Pop-Tarts.
Hato didn't leave. Hato has the knee problems. About. No, we're talking about some random guy and his girlfriend. Where apparently, so like, was he like, no, I don't want to leave, and he's just a bitch, and she dragged him out, or was it like a mutual thing, like, yeah, let's get out of here.
A couple days later, I'm still fuming about that kid dipping out right before Casey started their final drive. You gotta check your lady and let her know
the deal. The disrespect is unbelievable.
He said, this is coming from Kyle. I feel ashamed for even having made small talk with him.
We gotta find this kid, get him on the pod.
I mean, that was like the, that was the, it wasn't even the big Chiefs win or overtime. That wasn't the lasting discussion that, you know, came out of that party. It was, what is this guy's deal?
So did that dilute your experience, Turner, or were you like, you know, just raging after that?
No, it was pretty electric. I'm like Breesburg. I get pretty nervous. Everybody's saying Mahomes, you know, they expect him to go down and win. And on one level, sure, you know, like we've seen it happen a lot of times. But on the other level, like Reese
said,
just
a couple.
You're a play away. You know, from it being over. Yeah, confetti falling. Took the L. So. I don't know. I've been basking in it for a while, just consuming as much content as I can. So it's been good shit.
Yeah.
I wonder what that's like.
Me and Ralph made some money.
We did. We made money on it. So like, it wasn't bad, but it wasn't like the greatest. I didn't feel good about making that money.
No, I got a plus. So we did the under and Chiefs money line. And then I took MVS anytime touchdown for like plus 430. And that cash, so I was going crazy. Yeah, we took I think we just took Chiefs money line, then we took the under with a couple points. But it still hit even in OT because it was, I mean, what was it, 10-0 at half? So, yeah, it was a little bit bittersweet. We were at a party with Ralph was at fucking Kurt's house, but they know this kid in Arizona who runs like a whole sports book. So, I mean, this house, like, I mean, dude, my unit of gambling is like $20. I was with like 20 kids who each had like a grand on the Chiefs, and then the whole guy who runs the book had like 8 racks on the Chiefs. So when they threw that fucking, oh my God, there was tables got broke. He jumped in the pool fully clothed. Me and Connor are going crazy because we both, you know, hate the Chiefs. We had money on them. So yeah, it was, it turned out to be, you know, one of the shittiest Super Bowls turned into, after that second half, I mean, you can't ask for much more out of a football game, I feel like. Even for San Fran to, in OT, kick a field goal and score, and then them to just one up, I mean, it's just kind of like, yeah, I was pumped. At least it was a great Super Bowl, so.
Yeah, great Super Bowl.
But yeah, now it's over.
And then it's over, and, you know, perfect time to showcase the NBA, you know, what do they put out there? The All-Star game, that piece of shit.
We already talked about it. Nobody cares. It was terrible. I hope you guys listened to the episode because we had some fixes on it that I thought were pretty good, pretty entertaining. So if you guys wanted to listen to, I mean, if just like a quick pitch, essentially what I did was 3 alternatives for the actual game style and then 3 incentives for it as well. And the 3 incentives were the loser would have had to stay in Indianapolis for the rest of the weekend instead of being able to go to the Bahamas, put a bunch of bad bitches courtside like Lori Harvey, Sydney Sweeney, Kim K, Megan Fox, etc.
All their ex-girlfriends.
That's
going
to get everybody fired up. Ex-girlfriends is a good way to do it. We pitched a Royal Rumble, so it starts out as 1-on-1, develops into 2-on-2 until it's finally 12-on-12, which would have been, I think actually, the more I've thought about it, that one's the most fun, but you can listen to the episode with Bordy if you want the full rundown of that. But we're here to...
Yeah, give me the 1-on-1.
Good tease.
We're here to swallow some shit and spit some shit, and then we have popcorn picks that we got to do too. So
yep, let's do it.
I actually want to start with swallow here. I have been very entertained the last couple of weeks, and I'm swallowing rappers turned TV creators. I think I suggested it to you guys, Mike. I watched it pretty much while we were in Arizona, Monday or Sunday night, whatever it was, after you had left. Mr. and Mrs. Smith, the new Donald Glover vehicle, the not remake of the Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie movie, but almost reinvention of it that is on Amazon Prime right now. And then the Vince Staples show on Netflix. Vince Staples, like, widely considered one of the funnier rappers. I know rappers aren't really, you know, noted for being funny all the time, but essentially what the Vince Staples show is like Long Beach County meets Curb Your Enthusiasm. It's a riot. It's on Netflix right now. Oh, 5 episodes, 20-minute episodes. Just the Vince Staples show. That's literally what it's called. It's like his Seinfeld, essentially, except, you know, ghetto. And it's a blast. So I'm swallowing those two. Mr. and Mrs. Smith is, you know, the first thing that he's really created since Atlanta. And it's easily my favorite show of the year so far. Probably, I'd say top like 15 all time, somewhere in that range. It's really, really good, really funny, great action, a great show for a couple to watch. So Turner, if you and Yaz are looking for a show to watch, it's a great one to watch together. It is a little bit intense and dramatic. There's some serious drama, like episodes 3, 4, and 5. Essentially, each episode is a different stage of a relationship. So you have the honeymoon phase in the first couple of episodes, and then it moves towards, like, are we going to have a kid? What do we want from each other? All this kind of stuff. And it's brilliant, man. I'm obsessed with the show. I'm kind of excited to rewatch it again.
Sorry, pause. Did you put this show in your top 15 already before it's done?
So I've rewatched episodes 1 and 2 since then. No, I've already finished it. It all came out at once, so you can binge it right now. Episodes 1 through 8.
You looked like your dog just died. You were like,
dude. I couldn't believe that Mr. and Mrs. Smith just jumped into top 15 all time.
Well, TV shows, Ralph? It's probably 30 Rock, honestly.
For Ralph, that's pretty valuable. That's a tough spot to get.
I mean, I've only seen so many TV shows, and I've seen so many bad ones.
Have you seen Vice Principals?
I have. Top 15. It's ahead of Vice Principals, for sure.
Have you seen Righteous Outer Banks?
That's a joke.
I've seen 2 episodes. I like Vice Principals. Danny McBride.
I'm a hater.
I tried Outer Banks. I didn't even sniff the second episode.
Have you seen Stranger Things?
I have. That's also outside the top 15. Good show.
I think it deserves
great season.
Peaky Blinders.
Okay, so now we're talking. I mean,
Have you seen Friends? All right, I'm done.
Okay, all right. We can't just keep naming. But yeah, I encourage everybody. Watch Mr. and Mrs. Smith. Everybody and their mom has an Amazon Prime account, so it's a very easy watch. There's no reason you shouldn't at least give it a shot. I think it's – I mean, the fits that Donald Glover is giving off, inspirational, dude. Like, I am about to just go on a shopping spree after watching this show. Originally, Phoebe Waller-Bridge from Fleabag was the co-creator of it, and they had some – creative differences.
Oh, really?
Her and Donald Glover. So yeah, they kind of had a work husband relationship breakup, which is fascinating how different the show might have been with her in it. But I think that Maya Eskridge, who replaced her, is perfect for it. She's an Asian woman who I'd never seen before, and she's just brilliant. I mean, I can't speak highly enough about the show. Five stars.
I feel like that might be one of the changes for the better, but I also got to ask, because we're talking about this show, did you get an email from Amazon Prime telling you to pull up for an exclusive preview of the episode 1 and 2?
I did not. No, I'm not that high up yet. Probably because I review movies and not TV shows. Jared McCain did?
Sure.
Yeah. They told me to pull up. They said, come out.
Oh,
and
they
said anybody. Yeah. They said anybody. Yeah. I'm Jared McCain today. They said anybody could pull up, but I just happened to get an email. I thought about it just because they sent me the email.
Well,
you know, it's like they want me there. Like, okay.
I might have gotten the email. I just missed it then. I guess every Amazon Prime user got it, but I think that the marketing behind it has been really weak, and I wish that it was a week-by-week show like Succession. Yeah, I just don't. I don't see a lot of conversation about it. I haven't talked with anybody about it.
Not a lot of conversation, but
I'm glad that Phoebe Waller-Bridge isn't in it. I feel like she would be odd, you know, casted across from Donald Glover and the energy he's bringing. But what are the odds? There's a Phoebe Waller-Bridge, and then there's a Phoebe Bridges, right?
Love Phoebe Bridges. Yeah, Bridges.
I can't believe that there's two Phoebe Bridges that are just going off at the same time in this world. That just
we got to find a way to get Phoebe Bridges to be
good,
Phoebe Bridges.
Phoebe Bridges.
We gotta get them together.
Part. Yeah.
I love Phoebe Bridges too. She's great. But yeah, and then the Vince Staples show is on Netflix. Very easy watch. Not as romantically friendly, I don't think. I'm not sure if that's one you're going to want to watch with your girlfriend. It's a very dude-heavy show. Very reminiscent of Curb and Seinfeld. Vince Staples is a genius. I mean, Turner, we love his music, but I think that you'll like the show too. If you like his Twitter page and him talking about refreshing ice-cold Sprite and the Clippers, like, this show's for you.
In like 6-minute Vince Staples interviews on YouTube.
Just the funniest things. Like, he's the man.
He is
something
great
about those
humor.
West Coast rappers. Tyler, Vince, they're hilarious.
Schoolboy Q.
Oh, shit, not Odd Future.
West Side Long Beach.
And he's like referencing the music. So he just plays Vince Staples in the show. So like everybody knows him as Vince Staples. You know, he goes to a barbecue with his family. People are asking him for a dollar. All that stereotypical shit. Turner, what are you swallowing?
Yeah, I'm swallowing being 7'4". Huge year for being 7'4". You got Wimby starting to break out of his shell. Great all-star performance out of him. Just him being there, looking taller than everybody else.
So he tried to sit in a plane.
Pretty suave-looking dude for 7'4". We were having a conversation the other day how, like, once you get above 6'10", you're just kind of
ugly.
Gonna be probably hit. Yeah, just ugly-ass dude. And then at the same time, you got Zach Edey, 7'4", as well, running it up at Purdue right now. He's probably going to go back-to-back player of the year. Maybe Berg, as the Box Out Boys guy, would you say that Edie's still a good chance winning player of the year?
There's no question. There's no debate. He's going
that's
back.
That's so
he's not pretty,
stupid.
Though.
I completely
no, he's
disagree
not pretty,
with that.
Though. So that's, you know, two guys averaging 20-10, controlling the defensive end of the floor, both 7-4. We haven't had a lot of individual 7-4 people in our lives, so the fact that they're both just going off, it's kind of, you know, a little bit like Phoebe Waller-Bridge and Phoebe Bridgers.
Four?
Yeah.
Freaking unit
fuck,
out there.
Man. What do his parents look like? I didn't get how that happened.
Dude, they're
man.
Two
5'4.
They're not 7'4.
Little small people.
What?
That just so what do
no,
we
you know how
now?
That happens?
Like what it's just a roll of a dice?
Is it a grandparent?
No, I'm 6'2", I'll take that, but it's gotta be HGH. Yeah,
it can't just be
totally HGH.
And a dabble of HGH.
No, that's we should look up how tall his parents are.
His mom
they're
is
definitely
6'3".
Taller than 5'4". Yeah,
his mom
shit.
Is 6'3"? Oh, that makes a lot more sense.
Oh,
is that 7'4" in women's?
How tall is his dad? Did she marry shorter?
His dad's actually 8'9". Like, okay, well, this actually he actually got short end of the stick. He should be 30 feet tall. It's actually short.
His dad, yeah, not really. Not, oh,
I bet his parents are so oh. ugly. Sorry,
his dad's an attractive
Mr. and Mrs. Yeah. Edie. But
you will not believe this. This can't be. This can't be true. His dad is 5'8" and his mom's 6'3".
Oh, his dad's probably got a hammer.
She dipped into the kiddie pool.
Yeah, what he the is. Fuck? This is nuts.
That's weird.
It's crazy how genetics work out.
Okay, all right. Well, you're swallowing being 7'4". Are there any other 7'4" guys, or is it just, you know, college basketball, NBA?
Oh, no.
Not many 7'4" actors out there. 7'4" comedians.
Yeah,
you know,
they're on the screen.
How tall is Boban?
Shit, the mountain. He might 7'3". Be 7'4".
Boban, 7'4". There you go. Actor and NBA player.
Yeah, so, John Wick 3. All right, good one. Let's go with Cerrone.
Oh,
what are you swallowing?
Was. I am swallowing... oh yeah, all right. I'm swallowing. Listen,
he always surprises himself. He looks down at his piece of paper. He's like, "Oh yeah, fuck."
Got my notes. I swapped these out. Listen, you know this only comes around once a year. There's a select maybe 3 or 4 weeks you can really dip into this, and when it's here, I take advantage of it. I'm swallowing the Shamrock Shake from McDonald's.
Ooh.
Every single year, I forget about it. You know, it kind of drifts off into the back burner. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, I'm driving on the highway. I'm driving on the road. I see a fucking big-ass neon green McDonald's sign. And I've been splurging. I think I've had 3 in the past 2 days. Dude, and they have this new Oreo Mint Shamrock Shake.
Ooh. Ooh.
Oh, my God. Listen, gentlemen and ladies listening, do yourself a favor. Next time you're on a cheat day or you're splurging or you're driving by a McDonald's, just grab a little 4-piece nuggie, a small fry, and a Shamrock Shake. It's an excuse to – it's only here for 3 weeks. Get it while you can. I'm swallowing Shamrock Shake. It gets slept on a lot. But god damn, does that thing smack? I'm telling you. Have you guys ever had one?
Of course.
Yes. Yes.
Oh yeah.
But in the recent future, have you had one yet this year?
Probably not.
Not yet.
5 years.
You're gonna drive by a McDonald's and you're gonna get one tomorrow, and it's just the perfect. God, that thing slaps, bro. They do that shit right.
Do you have any McDonald's that are just like on the way to like home for you?
Oh, dude.
Are you just driving by McDonald's left and right?
30 of them. Yeah. LA is not like Iowa. Or I don't know if it's I mean I could throw a baseball and hit 3 of them from the outside this fucking Airbnb. So yeah, there's one right down the road. And like last night, I didn't feel like cooking. I was like, you know, I haven't had fucking McDicks in a while. I pulled up, grab a fucking 2 double doubles, no pickles, add mac sauce, large fry, and an Oreo Shamrock Shake, and I slept like shit. And goddamn, do I feel awful today?
From a 4-piece nugget.
Listen,
two double doubles.
Yeah, I went up to it a little bit, but you know, I run every day, I lift every day, I deserve a little cheat. So
every day,
get yourself a sham. Yeah, I run every day, I lift every day. Running for me
good
is
for
like,
you,
yeah, I always get
no days off.
Like accident. No, I'm not.
He took several days off when we were together. Several days off.
Because that was because I didn't take a day off from partying. I subbed in every
well,
goddamn
it's not
morning.
Like he was taking in a lot of calories. Like, we didn't eat much while we were together. We were eating
Adderall.
All I ate
for 4 days was Adderall, yeah.
Yeah.
But no, I'll run. I've always ran. I run to, like I enjoy. It's not like I'm, like, disciplined. Like, I just enjoy. It just, like, calms me. Like, after this, I'll go for a run and just, like, just fucking like, it's like, yeah, I run at night. It's amazing. It's just,
you
like,
got a lot of lights around
meditation.
You?
No,
because it can be hard to see out there, you know, dark,
hard to see. What
in
am
the
I
dark?
89 years old?
There's sure, you never run in the
in cars.
Oh, that's what I asked.
Yeah, I don't live in Arkansas.
I live in Denver, and there's some areas where you never know, because I'm sure the streets in LA aren't that much better. I'm sure there's shit too, where you never know if you're running into like a little hole or what's going on.
I like to say,
but I'm a big runner too, so I love it. I love you.
Yeah, I'll go out and I run a lot. I do fucking ever since the Marines. I just do it. It's just natural. But yeah, I got a couple marathons under my belt. That's a little fun fact.
Quits.
Boom, there you go.
Fun fact.
Okay.
That's 3 out of 4 people on this pod had ran a marathon. Where are you at, Viv?
I'm not even close to one. Absolutely never. My dad used to run them all the time. Fun fact, it was the New York City Marathon.
What up?
Yeah, New York City Marathon. I was in like third or fourth grade, and he's running.
That's awesome.
And he, you know, he's like really proud, like running in front of like his kids and stuff like that. And I shit you not, he like stopped for a second to like tie his shoe or something like that, like right in front of us. And a pregnant lady passed him, and he just got roasted.
Bro, I remember
two shithead kids, me and Petey, like 8 and 6 years old.
Yeah, dude, there's some. I remember my first one. I lined up, and I thought it was gonna be a bunch of like. Just Stunt. Like, you know, athletes, bro. And I was lining up with these, like, these older ladies, like these guys that are like 30, 40. And I was like, oh, man, I'm cooking. But they will torch you, bro. Because they've just been running their whole life. Like, I was getting torched by people like my that look like my mom and my dad, like just run, just torching me. So, yeah, they'll bring it because they got nothing else to fucking do except run and do that shit.
In defense, they do say that the older you get, you know, mid-30s, that's kind of peak marathon age. Definitely not for competition, but for regular Joes like us, yeah, they say you start peaking young 30s.
Let's go.
27, 28 is a good range competitively, though.
I can't run without a basketball in my hand. I don't like to run unless I have a ball in my hand. It's just
it's a ball.
You could make
be on CNN.
Yeah,
that would be huge.
There's a guy that smokes a pack of cigarettes. He gets on the news.
What? There's a dude that
smokes
a whole pack?
Yeah, he just smokes a
stick.
Well, they banned him. He can't do it anymore. They're like, we don't like you smoking cigs and doing it. He's in China.
What? That's just un-American.
It is un-American. That actually sounds like the most American thing I've ever heard of.
He's pretty bad. And he drinks a shamrock shake, too. He just has a shamrock shake in one hand and a cigarette in the other, and he just gets refills from his boys.
I saw
this
quote today. It was like, America was built on guys who smoked cigarettes, drove without seatbelts, and ate bacon for breakfast. So
if
you miss your little morning routine, cold plunge, don't worry, sweetie. You're going to be okay. You're going to make it. The body's built for way more on way less. God bless America.
Push yourself to the limits, boys.
There you go. We're swallowing shamrock shakes.
Yep, swallowing shamrock shakes. All right, Berg.
Wow, where the hell did we go there?
Where are you swallowing,
Well, Bernie? I got to go like my namesake here. I talked about it, a little touched on it before the pod, and I got to go with – I'm swallowing Jared McCain's one basketball skills and also the duality to also be an Instagram TikTok star. He's out there putting up 24, 35 points a game. His last four games, 35-17, 23-21-20.
He's a freshman guard for Duke.
I named his last four best games. Just a kind of random guy, honestly, in the landscape of Duke.
Like
in the landscape of
recruit.
Duke, he's not a starting five guy, though. He's a freshman, just came out of nowhere.
Yeah. I mean, I've had my sights set on him for the last 2 years, and I hated his Instagram and his TikTok. But you're right. I like the duality idea because –
That's how you do it these days, though.
But like, that's like usually annoys me. But I'm actually starting to get more comfortable with it. Jalen Williams for the Thunder is TikToking all the time. But yeah, if you're perform like the Shea Gilgeous-Alexander Instagram captions, that stuff doesn't bother me anymore. It slides off my back. As long as you're hooping, it's all good in my book.
Dude, it's just the new day and age, and it's hilarious to watch a Duke game where he puts up 20 points, and then you're scrolling through the Instagram, something pops up on your feed, and like, all of a sudden Jared McCain's in your face going, I'm 2 days into college, and I just doing his little, like, you think you're on the wrong account. You're like, no way, is this the same guy? And you're like, you just go to the comments, and all of them are just straight homophobic, like, this man gay. It's just funny internet stuff, you know? Like, we stand with you, Jared McCain. Keep balling. Keep hooping. Keep posting videos, too.
He's like the most light-skinned dude alive. Super light-skinned.
Oh,
he's almost... not. His name's Jared, and he's not white?
Yep. He's a light-skinned kid.
He's light-skinned.
Yeah.
There's a bunch of light-skinned Jareds. Vanderbilt, Sullivan.
Vanderbilt's dark-skinned for sure, but...
I don't know.
Jared Bayless? That's a good
there
one.
You go.
He spelled Jared different. I pulled that out of the back pocket. Dog.
Sullivan. I was thinking Solinger.
Solinger? Yeah. I love Jared Solinger.
J A R R I D.
He was a shamrock shake in human form. All right. Turner, what are you spitting?
Okay. I'm spitting the opposite of Reesburg. I'm spitting athletes on Instagram. I'm spitting.
Oh, I'm spitting.
Wow.
Change yours?
No,
change yours?
This is what I, No, I literally have this written down. I'm spitting specifically Justin Fields unfollowing the Bears on Instagram.
Oh, I saw
I
that.
I hate this trend in general where it's like all of a sudden LeBron doesn't follow Austin Reeves anymore on Instagram.
That on
like
the
if he
daily.
Did unfollow him, I would be like, maybe whether there's some smoke, there's some fire. But it is just like, what are we doing here? And I don't even think this necessarily means that Justin Fields is even more likely to leave the Bears. Maybe a little bit. I guess Vegas odds moved, but he also said, I have an announcement to make tomorrow about why this isn't that big of a deal. I'm just keeping my options open or something. It's just, I hate the unnecessary drama.
Yes. Okay. So,
yeah, but why would
I agree
you
with the smoke and fire thing. It's just like, that is an active decision. Like, I unfollow people. I'm like, you know what? I'm never going to see this person again in my life. I knew them my sophomore year of high school. What are the odds that I really give a fuck about what's going on with them? Like, if they show up on my timeline, it's going to bring any joy to my life. This is a guy who plays for the organization, has for the last 4 years, and it's just, it's complicated because he is, you know, given so much to them and they're not, I don't know what's going on internally. I don't know what he's reading.
And then, you know,
I think he has.
He followed all the Falcons players too. You see that?
Oh, did he follow Bijan and all those guys?
It's just such a weird way of going about things these days where it's
just very passive.
Shadow, like, so passive, yes. It's like, can we just be a little bit more upfront about what's going on here? Like, hey, Bears currently haven't, the Bears haven't committed to me yet, and that's pissing me off. So, you know, it's going to give me a little bit more leverage with the fans or something. I'm going to, it's just, it's bullshit. I don't know
who's checking
that. I'm
curious to what he says tomorrow.
I bet somebody has some kind of app, you know?
Yeah. Who had followed who?
Yeah, but that, like, because he probably did. Yeah, that is a weird, I don't know. If you're him, you got to understand before you do that, that it's going to be talked about.
So, all right, let me ask you this, actually. Like, Turner, let's say that Mahomes unfollows the Chiefs tomorrow. Are you going to be nervous at all?
Yeah.
I would think it's weird, yeah. I'm not saying that there's not validity of, like, thinking there's maybe something behind it. I just think the whole idea and act of, like, following unfollow, I don't know, it's just, it's so petty and immature, because we see it so many times.
The
where
world we live in now,
the other way around too, where they unfollow them and then they sign a contract deal like 2 days later,
right? I don't know, man, it is what it is, you know. He's a 23-24 year old kid. If he has his feelings hurt in the moment, like, it is what it is. But I agree with you, it's definitely passive. It's definitely like, all right, what would they have done in the 90s? They would have gone into the general manager's office and been like, pour me a whiskey and let's talk this out. Like, let's figure it out like men. Am I staying here or you're going to draft Caleb Williams? Let's just, let me know what I need to prepare for. Like, do I need to start studying other playbooks? What the deal is? Because I take my job seriously. You know, we're coming up to March. OTAs are starting in a couple months. I want to be the best quarterback possible. But instead he's like,
yeah, he's gone.
I'm going to train with my trainer in Atlanta. I'm going to follow Kyle Pitts. And then I'm going to click a button on Instagram and hopefully get my way. And at the same time, I am rooting for him wherever he goes. That will instantly be my second favorite team. If he goes to the Steelers, I'll
second
be a
favorite?
100%. I love him. I love Justin Fields. I would have liked him even if he had gotten drafted by the Niners with a third pick. That would have been my guy. I've always liked him at Ohio State. I like his play style. I just don't think it worked out with the Bears, and I'm ready for Caleb Williams.
Are you? So when you saw that unfollow, did you just immediately go, okay, it's Caleb Williams time?
Not necessarily. I would just say he's moving on. And it's like unfollowing an ex-girlfriend. Like, you got to get it out of your system.
They're
you got to wash
dating.
That out. Right, yeah, now, but he knows that things are ending.
They're still dating.
He knows that his girlfriend is looking at a hotter guy. Like, and he's like, I'm going to send her a passive little message. I'm not excusing his behavior at all. I think it's a good spit because, yeah, it is annoying. Just like the LeBron tweets, like those, like, I love LeBron more than anybody, but it's frustrating when he just puts out like a cryptic emoji. It's like, okay, what are we accomplishing?
Clock emoji.
Yeah, the fucking whatever. All right.
I just thought it was funny of being the opposite of Reese Bruce too.
It is pretty good. Yeah, that was a good time.
I love that workout like
controversy.
So, Roni, what are you gonna spit?
I am spitting. Oh, okay. So, all right, growing up, or not growing up, that just sounds dumb because I'm still a kid. But, dude, in middle school and in high school, in the first couple of years of college.
You're a man.
He's coming up on prime marathon running.
have you, I'm a kid. I'm a child.
Okay.
Dude, I used to get all my news, all my pop culture, all my fight videos. Bro, World Star used to be like the number one spot for everything. Like everything that ever happened, like you saw first on World Star. Dude, World Star, I'm spitting World Star. World Star sucks now.
It's ass.
Like, so all I see is these ads for OnlyFans girls, for Ice Spice, for these pointless bullshit, like, little ads, like, these awful. Like, you want to know if you're a good rapper or not? Well, if you buy a World Star ad, you're not. Like, it's un... I unfollowed him today. It was at the point where it's like, this has no use to me anymore. I used to get everything from World Star. World Star was the shit. If you made it on World Star, like, your whole fucking life changed. You couldn't buy these sponsored ads. You couldn't do this. You couldn't do that. It was like, the World Star was like the magic touch. Like, whatever, it was like the fucking golden finger. Whatever World Star touched just turned to gold. And now it sucks, bro. There's nothing on it except just awful shit. So I'm spitting World Star, man. Get it together. Like, just such a good brand that you just is shit now. Is absolute dog shit. Like, there's way better accounts to get news and pop culture and, you know, the fucking music, yep, and sports.
Reesburg is a huge advocate for rap. R-A-P. Yep. That's his favorite one.
Yeah.
I follow the Shade Report.
I don't want to say I'm entertaining. An advocate,
room, right? The numbers don't lie. Music.
Yep. World Star, I like how you refer to it. You refer to it as it used to be a great brand. You're like, it's like Nike falling off with Apple. At the end of the day, it was World Star hip hop, and it was just like ratchet shit all the time.
But whatever World Star touched, like, turned to gold, bro. Like, whether you were like made a funny video or made like a, I remember fucking, you know, like that was like everybody. Like, if you just got on World Star, you immediately got like 100,000 followers. People got interviews.
You could download mixtapes on there. Yep.
It was insane. It was like, that's where everything started, was from World Star. It was like
Ellen for black people.
That's pretty spot on. I was all about it.
Do you think it was
like,
more for black
just
people
slowly
or white
declined.
People?
It was definitely white more for black people, Berg. Like, are you kidding me? Like,
dude, everybody I knew was talking about it. Yeah, everybody followed World Star. That seems like a brand. We'll consider them a brand now. Their stocks got tanked so far. I don't know if they can ever come back.
The fight started sophomore year of high school. Yo. Everybody was like, World Star, World Star. And
yeah,
if you
awesome.
Get somebody chanting
that's
your name, that's honestly genius branding.
Song.
Yep, good call.
There was crazy fights, and it just everything that, like, that was like the set. It's like what everything went through. It was like the rite of passage. It was World Star, and now it's just ads. It's just dumb videos. It's just like sponsored shit, and it just sucks now.
I mean, if but you believe it,
you still follow them. I think that's the only question. You got to unfollow them.
You got to cut that tie.
You got to Justin Harris or Justin Fields him.
48 million followers on Instagram.
Damn.
Start
Jesus.
The wave, dude.
48 mil.
Bring him over to the pop-off pot.
Yeah.
I'm going to give a follow. There's 40 million people wasting their time watching these videos. I'll be one of them.
You already got rap, dude. You can't cheat on rap with World Star.
How much OnlyFans content is it, though?
Bro, that doesn't sound that bad. Why are you complaining about just more OnlyFans? Like, they're definitely just like DMing them for promo.
It's not skinny white girls. It's like,
yeah,
just,
you're right.
It's just,
they have tits. They're not loosely paper. That's where you run into the issue.
Oh, no, dude. Some of these videos are not what you want to see.
No, it's not. That's what I'm saying. It's falling off. Like, it's just so bad. It's just, and I was not unfollowing them for a while because it's like, man, like, something's going to happen. I'm not going to know about it. But now it's like, they're not posting shit, dude. They're irrelevant. They are irrelevant now.
I feel like there's four guys here. There's four of us. World Star, you know, we were talking about it. There used to be a fight. You used to be on World Star. One of us had to have, like, seen a video on World Star where we were either there or directly correlated. We knew those people.
Uh-huh.
Anybody have a story about that? Because I can't remember. But I feel like I'm missing. I feel like I'm missing it. But there has to be one of us with a, like, close vicinity of a fight that got posted.
You know what the best things on World Star are, though?
It's almost like your friend's
it's just
on
videos like this where this girl is like ultra thick and the caption is,
yeah, is that
would
the...
you sponsored? Would you rub her down? And it's like, yeah. Like,
with the mud?
Yeah.
That's why I unfollowed it, bro. I saw that like 4 hours ago. I was like, dude, this is like, and I opened it up like in public. I was like in line in a restaurant and like it just I was like, man, this is dumb as fuck, man. Like they don't deserve a follow anymore. Like they're,
dude,
they're
that's
just,
actually
they sold out.
Amazing that it you just said that because they you said that they posted that 4 hours ago. They posted it exactly 4 hours ago, according to my timeline, which is impressive. But it's also like they just ask the most basic questions. It's like so fucking stupid every time.
Yeah,
oh, these
it's
gorgeous,
sponsored. It's paid for.
Light purple or like lilac Air Max 97s, and it says, "Would you rock these?" And it's like, "Yes, like I would wear those shoes." Like yeah. It's just so stupid. Yeah, that's a good spit. Spit world stuff for sure. Berg, go ahead. What's your spit?
So coming into this, I didn't have a spit, but after all this,
you
back
never
and
do.
Forth,
you didn't last time either. Dude, you swallowed two things.
I was gonna swallow something else again, but nice I thought I can't be swallowing too much.
You've been
so
at least
I gotta
four swallows in a row.
Say
listen,
my gut.
You can never swallow too much. I'll say that.
That's what I'm saying.
The salivary glands have to go outward and inward. Let's get them going outward. Let's
I mean, I'm all about the yin and yang. I'm gonna spit Top Dog Entertainment here, real quick. Just because.
Wow.
I know it might sound controversial right off the rip. I know they got Kenny. They got SZA. They got Schoolboy. They got Luke Skywalker.
Isaiah Rashawn.
Banger.
Lance Skywalker.
They got quite a few artists that we really like. I'm just spitting Top Dog. I'm spitting the guy who runs the label because I think it's the most, if we're looking at it right now, it's easily the most, if you look at all the labels, it's the most mismanaged hip-hop label in history. The amount of talent they have, they should be running shit. It should be West Coast till we die. We shouldn't even be listening to East Coast rappers. We should just be listening to TDE. And they should have a way longer collective of artists. They should have Vince Staples in there. They should have Tyler in there. Tyler makes sense that he wouldn't be in there. But they should just have way more of a collective.
Is Top Dog
and they should know.
Yeah.
Or is...
No. Top Dog is...
Is Anthony. Tiffin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What is Kendrick? What is that?
Kendrick is no
oh,
longer
Kendrick's
with Top
TDE.
Dog.
Oh,
no, he's no longer
now
with
he's
TDE.
With JP
which
Lang.
Would go to your point though, Reesburg, about
right.
it being mismanaged because you know mm-hmm. number
they
one artist is no
artist.
Longer with them. Yeah.
Yep.
I just think they fumbled a bag with all their artists for the longest time. I mean, whether this is on SZA or whether this is on Top Dog, I'm gonna blame the music label. You know, she didn't put out album forever, and I really think it's just because they don't know how to prioritize the talent they have. They don't know how to bring in extra talent. And how do you lose Kendrick Lamar? How do you just part ways with that? I get he's all the way up here and doesn't need you, but you should be such a collective, wholesome, cultural organization where he has no choice but to stay with you because it only brings his brand up more. So I'm spitting the management of all these artists. I'm waiting for a new Schoolboy Q album. I don't think we'll ever get a new Kendrick Lamar album. SZA.
I love Schoolboy.
Isaiah Rashad. All the above.
Schoolboy's rolling out right now.
It's rolling out.
Devil's Advocate, Berg, all the albums they put out are timeless, though.
Yeah.
You're right.
I'd almost rather have like a collection of timeless albums than be oversaturated with music that I start to fall out of love with like an artist. Like I still listen to a bunch of Isaiah Rashad. I still listen to a bunch of SZA, even though there's only two albums that came out in the last 6 years for each of them.
You're
That's
completely
a great
right. Just counterpoint again. They also, I mean, I think they are when they do put out albums, they are amazing. I mean, we listen to them all the time. We talk about them for a reason, but I don't think it's just about when you're going to release albums. I think that schedule is just a small part, just a little microcosm of just the fucked upness going on there. I think it's just how he has a relationship with all his artists. And it just, again, I think they have amazing talent. I don't think they need to oversaturate their roster, but I just think they missed out on a lot of opportunities and not a big top dog guy.
In terms of spin, actually Top Dog himself, not Top Dog Entertainment, it does feel like Top Dog kind of runs the label like he's the head pimp.
Suge Knight.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Exactly.
Well, I wanted to speak to Berg's point. Like, you can't get Vince Staples because what they've done is they've taken artists that early in their career and then kind of cultivated them and gotten the most out of them. But who's the most recent artist that they've gotten? Like
that's
you have
what good
to,
label should do.
But good label should continue to get these artists. Like there have been plenty of
impossible.
Great artists who have come up that they just haven't gotten a hold of, which is what like they haven't brought anybody into this TDE circle that's blown up.
Yeah.
Like
it's
I think
so
that they probably attempt. I know it's hard, but like there's artists all over TikTok. If anything, it's more available to it's probably easier
those
to get
TikTok
them now more than ever.
Just go to like the biggest labels, the massive labels, like
But you know what an artist would like, if Kendrick was still a TD, they'd be like, I want a Kendrick feature. Like, if it's a, you know, if it's a Black Sam or something like that.
Yeah, like, Kendrick's going to go be like, this guy's putting up major hits on TikTok. Let me go serve him up a feature.
Well, I don't think it's that. Like, it doesn't have to be TikTok exclusively because, you know, my association with TikTok is mainly, like, earworm songs. But the artists that are more, like, TDE is based on lyrics, like, for the most part. Like, they have a little bit deeper, like, more poetic kind of rapping style. If you have Absol, J-Rock, guys like that. Like, those guys aren't just putting out radio hits. Like, they're actually rappers, like, from the West Coast. But, like, a guy like Larry June, he's been around for a long time. Like, that could have been a guy that they could have cultivated a while ago. And maybe it's a good thing they didn't because he's constantly putting out music. But now there's other rap groups like Griselda or, you know, other like these other branches that are taking kind of their spot.
I would agree, but I would just say, like, it's hard to – Dreamville hasn't really gotten anyone new in the last, like, 6 years. It's just so hard.
I think
– the only way you get a Kendrick feature is if you're his cousin.
Facts.
Damn straight. Duckworth?
But they could have had Baby Keem. That's a perfect example. He could have been TDE.
Oh, Baby Keem.
If they would have brought in Baby Keem, like, you're not just going to be a producer. You're going to be a rapper for us. Does Kendrick stay, or does he go over and form JP Lang? And then the other thing I wanted to say was, on the devil's advocate part, you know, it is a lot of, as the manager of a pop-off podcast network, if I lost Riesberg, I would be devastated. So maybe him losing Kendrick is really eating away at him. Like, he doesn't know what to do with himself. Like, if
he's
lose her,
sleep.
I'm going to be like, you know, it's hard to manage this talent. I want to get the guys in front of the mics and put them out there in the world.
Gotta get him a deal he can't refuse.
I got to put rent money out every week. Like, I got to be on it. And it can be hard. It can be taxing. But you know what? You got to do it. You got to feed the streets. And that's where he's lacking. I agree. He's not feeding the streets enough.
I think...
But what Turner said, every time he feeds the streets, it's a classic.
Yeah. And nobody's debating that. Yeah, I think I went a little too hard on the, you know, they could get better artists. They could put more music out. I think the biggest problem is Top Dog's management over all the other artists. They are such big stars and such big personalities where they have their own agendas and they're not afraid to speak to their fans and say, new album coming soon. You know, I'm in line next. But then Top Dog, Anthony, will just come right out and say, like, no, Kendrick doesn't have an album coming out, confuses fans. What happens a week later? Damn comes out. And so it's just a back and forth between his artists about when music is releasing at certain times so fans get excited, and then Top Dog will cut it. He pushed SZA's album ahead of Kendrick's album recently, forced her to put some music out, and then backtrack Kenny. And so it's just a little weird mismanagement of,
like
why is it so hard
get along
when you're going to release something?
Yeah, it's never an easy, I don't know that world too well, but like it's never easy with that shit. They're always getting mad at each other and getting pissed off and backlash. Like, I don't really understand that world. It's just fuck it. Like, you're on the same team.
I think you just gotta keep it closer to the team and then, you know, find out who the mole is, quit the leaks, and then if all this information isn't coming out, fans aren't as upset. You know, because there's no expectations.
A little off track, but like the whole Kanye rollout, like there's some good songs on that album. Like it. But same. Like it's so funny how he just like he'll put it out with Apple Music. He's definitely doing things that he probably knows he didn't get cleared or like signed approval for, and then he'll beef with Apple Music
100%.
After the fact.
It's, he give a fuck.
It's so funny.
It's him versus the world.
It really is.
Yeah. He almost would rather it would almost be weird for him if he did something like
same.
Correctly. Yeah,
yeah, it's like, that it's old not. Saying, like, it's I would rather beg for forgiveness than ask for permission. Like, that's the definition of Kanye. He's going to do what he wants.
Yeah,
more than that,
he's on his own schedule.
He doesn't ask for forgiveness. He goes, there's a conspiracy, guys.
Yeah, I'm just playing some people.
Oh, God. Yeah, decent project. We can talk about that at a future date. We'll have a... We might have an announcement coming up in the next couple of weeks for March, which will be exciting. All right, I'm spitting... I'm spitting the movie release calendar for 2024. Boys, we're fucked. We've been very blessed, very fortunate the last couple of years. And, you know, we have Dune to look forward to next week, which is really exciting. I couldn't be more fired up for that movie, hearing great things about it. But it's been pretty much confirmed that Tarantino's The Movie Critic will not be coming out this year. And
I was gonna say that.
PTA probably not coming out this year, but the one that really shook me, I had a feeling that those two movies weren't going to come out until 2025 at the earliest. Bong Joon-ho, the director of Parasite, one of my, I don't know, 50 to 100 favorite movies ever. I absolutely adore it. It's in my list somewhere. I just can't remember exactly where it's at, but I love Parasite. It won the 2019 Best Picture and a bunch of other awards, screenplay, director. It could have won an actor award, honestly, but it was just such a stacked year. His follow-up to that movie is called Mickey 17. It is starring Robert Pattinson, and nobody really knows what it's about other than it is a science fiction thriller. And if you know me, that's my brand. That's my shit right there. The one thing I love more than a romantic drama or a period piece is a weird-ass thriller directed by a genius starring one of my favorite current actors.
English?
It is in English.
He's back.
And
Snowpiercer's not coming out this year.
Snowpiercer's sci-fi movie.
Does that mean you're a big Alien fan?
Love Alien. It was originally slated for this summer, I believe, which is it's a weird movie to release in the summer. Like, you think it's going to be an Oscar contender, you usually drop it later in the calendar year. It's been pushed back to January of 2025. So literally almost a calendar year until I get to see this movie. And there's been one teaser, and it shows you absolutely nothing other than Robert Pattinson maybe in a spaceship getting a CAT scan or an MRI. And that's really about it. And, just that one glimpse of that, I'm like, this is it. Like, I am seeing this. If I can't see it opening night, I'm going to throw a fucking fit.
Rob, do you think you could start with your movie reviews on Instagram, start asking for the, 5-day early screeners?
I don't know. I think it has to get to a certain level where I can. I would love to. I love
seeing.
I've been fortunate enough where, I'd have to be in SAG or something like that, but I would be fortunate where some of the theaters around here will show stuff pretty early, Don't Look Up, the Adam McKay film that came out a couple of years ago that Netflix released. It released on Netflix in December,
Christmas,
I got to see it early November, something like that. So I saw it 6 weeks ahead, which was fun and exciting. But at the same time, you know me, I love to talk to my friends about movies, so I think that would be hard for me if I couldn't share that experience with somebody. It's really hard for me to keep something to myself. I'm not good at keeping secrets. I like to spill the beans on movies. Well, not amongst my friends, but
Ralph,
you know.
I think you can just apply for SAG. But let's say they did accept you and they go back on strike. Are you flying out there to be on the picket lines?
Are you gonna picket?
Did you picket at all, Cerrone?
Dude, my agent was she was
get out there and network.
She was like, I'll give you a $50 credit for headshots if you go and pick it. I was like, man, if you think you guys haven't even fed me. Why the fuck am I gonna fight for fucking?
Am I gonna pick it for a commercial?
Yeah, I was like, man, and the thing is, if you pick it, it's not really they're gonna make the deal no matter what. If I'm out there yelling, asking people to honk their horns, come on, what are we, children? Just fucking get the deal done. Just fucking sign me up for something, and I'll make you happy that way. I'll get you paid. I'm not going to pick it.
But I'm curious, if this kind of stuff bothers you guys, because I know you all love movies, but is this just I'm anal OCD about,
I'm already looking
nervous about the calendar?
With Glenn Powell.
I'll see Twister. I'm excited for that.
The Jake Gyllenhaal movie. With
the Super Bowl trailers.
Post Malone.
No, that's the remake of Roadhouse.
Movie.
Yeah.
But that's my type of movie.
I love any Jake Gyllenhaal movie. You seen Prisoner?
Oh.
We might have watched it this past weekend. We rewatched Prisoner with Kurt.
We watched Zodiac. Those are
Gyllenhaal
right
weekend.
Down those Jake Gyllenhaal, Miles Teller, Shia LaBeouf. I'm right in that little not an Oppenheimer level movie, but those better than average, though. That's right down my alley.
This guy's favorite war movie is Fury.
Yep. Love Fury.
So what I'm hearing is we have a good 2025.
Hey, and if you like Fury, Cerrone, the guy that directed that just directed a movie called The Beekeeper, which has made $150 million at the box office starring Jason Statham.
That
just looks like a Guy Pierce movie.
I've already seen that movie.
I know, but it is getting pretty good. It's getting pretty decent reviews for an action movie.
I know we've already seen the
Statham movie.
Is that the director's name?
Yeah. No, it's not Guy Pierce. I can't remember his name off the top of my head.
I'll see Dune 2 right when it comes out. That'll satisfy me, and then...
Are you thinking of Guy Ritchie?
Yeah, I don't know. It's going to be
I'm thinking of Guy Ritchie.
Guy Ritchie.
Okay. Sorry.
The Gentleman. He did, Snatch and, Long Stock and Smoking Barrels, stuff like that.
And he did Wrath of Man, which I just said I liked. We saw it in theaters. That's just classic Statham movie.
That is a Statham. All right. Well, on that note, I think we should take a quick break and then we'll go into popcorn picks. All right, we're back, and now we're going into popcorn picks. If you haven't listened before, this is where we select a piece of culture, a sport, whatever it is, something that you can dig into your popcorn bag and munch on while you're watching it, listening to it, whatever it might be. Let's go Berg. He's got a smile on his face. It looks like he's looking down at his notes, kind of excited about what his popcorn pick might be. I'm excited to hear what you got, Bergie.
I was actually just looking how good the boys did today on DraftKings, but yes, very excited to announce my pick. Yeah, me and my team that I have working for me on DraftKings, you know, always giving me the edge. But all right, my popcorn pick, if you're making me go first, this is what it's gonna be. It's gonna be a little animated series that had an incredible voiceover by Matt Damon. Pretty sure it's a Disney Pixar production, and it's full of horses. It's called The Stallion. Is that what it's called?
What the fuck is that?
It's your pick.
You guys know
never
what I'm talking
about.
You guys have never seen this?
Are you making this up?
Well, okay. Were you the worst person to pick first?
No.
I was the worst person to pick first. It's called Spirit, The Stallion in the Sky.
What the fuck is this?
So you guys have seen Spirit, right?
Did you watch it?
I have watched it in the past, and the first time I watched it was with my little brother when he was 3 or 4. He was just glued into this movie. I'm like, I'll spend some time with him. What's going on here? We're watching a movie together, and it's just this horse just running around. You know, he's a little Mustang. You can't break him. He can't be broke. That's what everyone's saying. Spoiler alert, they try to break him.
This is definitely not Pixar. Let me tell you that much. It's actually called
Disney.
Spirit. Stallion of the Cimarron.
That looks good.
It's from 2002. It looks like very like Lion King animation.
It's around the same time.
Leader, hero, legend is the tagline. As a wild stallion travels across the frontiers of the Old West, he befriends a young human and finds true love with a mare.
And it's a young Native American human, too. They left that part out. The white guy's bad. Native Americans are good. I won't spoil it for you. You know, there's some
4 stars on Letterboxd for Reesburg. He said, still a banger. Brian Adams is in his Marvin's room bag writing these songs. Spirit gets knocked down and gets back up more times than Rocky. Some Mustangs you just can't break.
There you go.
Brian Adams, I left another review. I've left my longest reviews for Spirit because I've done it twice. Once when I watched it with my 3-year-old brother, and
there's
now
another
this time,
one.
We were talking. There's 2 reviews. Yeah, I've seen the movie twice. Once really all the way through. The other time I just stepped out.
Okay, wait. But, I've got another one.
I gotta start leaving Letterboxd reviews, man.
So he's got another review. I'm not sure if I'm gonna read the whole thing, but he said, I walked in on my brother watching this, and this is my Reesburg impression. So I missed the first, I don't even know how much of the beginning, but for a movie that was released in 2002 and its intended audience was children, I was kind of hooked. This movie's about horses. Like, that's it. Horse named Spirit runs around the Wild West and learns a lot about himself. Real good lessons about life for the kiddos in this one. If someone described this plot to me, though, and I'd never seen it before, and they were telling it like they were actually excited about it, like all twinkle and sunshine in their eyes, I'd probably look at them like they were on crack and then tell them they like sucky movies. But that's me now. I liked the parts of this movie I saw. Maybe it's because I'm a fan of the Wild West era, IDK. True. Spirit fan. Couple of quick notes. This movie is total horse girl propaganda. You're dating a horse girl now, buddy. So this is funny that you said this in 2020. Matt fucking Damon does the narration. One of the more underrated DreamWorks movies out there. So we figured out the production company, Steven Spielberg's DreamWorks. I think a 4-star is a little high for this, but hey, fuck it. These are my ratings, and this movie was badass. Wow, Burr.
Did you spell hey like...
Hey, that was really good review. I'm glad I read that aloud. I was like, this looks long. I'm not sure if I should commit to it. I'm glad I read it in hindsight. Great pick.
Yeah, I don't think I've given more longer reviews about any movie than that right there. But I don't know why that came to me.
That's real good. Once you're done showing your kid Spirited, show him my popcorn pick. The movie Seven came out in 1995.
I have the exact same popcorn pick, Turner. The exact same one. That's unbelievable. Oh my! I can show you the notes for evidence.
We can both talk a little bit about it.
Time.
You got a corner. First time this happened. You got to drop another popcorn pick, though, Ralph. You got to come up with another one here. Well, yeah, you know, it came out, filmed 20 years ago. Yep. And you know what? In the movie, Morgan Freeman is retiring then. That's how old this guy's been around. Love Morgan Freeman. Then you get a young, loose Brad Pitt. They're both detectives searching down a murder based off the Seven Deadly Sins. Just a phenomenal movie. Grimy. Well done. Good score. Perfect pacing. Just one of the all-time great movies. Great cast. Gwyneth Paltrow. I'm not even going to say who the serial killer is because it's kind of a fun cameo surprise if you haven't seen the movie before. So, there you go. Seven. Ralph,
can you give us your best impression of what's in the box?
What's in the box?
What's in the box?
No.
He knows what's in the box.
So this movie is the hottest Brad Pitt has ever looked, other than Once Upon a Time in Hollywood as Cliff Booth.
And Troy, we talked about
young
this.
Brad Pitt. But Turner, you said this movie came out 20 years ago. Next year, it will be 30 years. This movie's been out for 29 years, which is insane.
Holy shit.
Now, this is Fincher's like breakout movie after Alien 3. You guys know how I feel about him. He's one of my favorite filmmakers.
Breakout movie after Alien 3. Massive
yeah,
movie.
I mean, Alien 3 is like a crazy movie to direct for your first one. But like, you know, it's not a great – but this is like, oh, this is actually what Fincher is, and this is what he could be. And now we're going to deal with this guy – not deal with this guy, but we're going to have movies from him for the next 40 to 50 years, and we're so lucky to have him. I think it might be my favorite thriller. It's up there. I think it's so brilliant. There's like
Than Zodiac? Would you rank it higher?
I have it above Zodiac in my Fincher rankings.
It's right in that alley.
Well, yeah. Same guy. You know, he made Zodiac, he made this, Gone Girl, Social Network, The Killer recently. I mean, we could go Fight Club, you name it. Like, he's probably made some of the best movies ever. But I think the thing that really stands out about this movie is that they never announced the setting. It just could take place in any kind of metropolitan area.
I always just thought it was Baltimore.
I always thought it was New York. Like, I've always assumed it was New York, but like they never explicitly say we're in New York City. They never say NYPD or anything like that. It's just any city with tall buildings and dark alleys where it rains a lot. Like, it could be Seattle for all I fucking know. It could be downtown Des Moines for all I fucking know.
It definitely felt like the East Coast. I will say that. It was very East Coast vibes.
For sure.
Where was it filmed?
I think New York.
That's a good question.
It's got to be known. I bet it was filmed in New York.
And we should say that this is streaming on HBO Max right now. So if you want to watch it, it's on there.
Oh, shit.
That makes sense.
Hey, that was in the 90s, though.
Yeah. I know that. So that shit came out before we were all fucking even born.
Yep.
That's actually like my
parents' favorite movie.
It's like,
this makes 100%. Sense, but that's he wanted nuts. To film it in Oakland, but was unable to for whatever reasons. But like, that kind of makes sense as
whatever
a city, you know?
Yeah. We know the reasons.
That's crazy that we both had that. I'm actually shocked. That's really cool. That's why we're best friends. All right, all audible on the fly. And because, you know, Dune 2 is coming here soon, let me do a Villeneuve. Let's do Sicario.
I love Sicario.
On Amazon Prime.
Is there
right
another
now.
One coming?
So there's a Sicario 2, but it's not directed by Villeneuve, so I haven't actually seen it
good.
Yet. But he is, I think, one of the I've been trying to think of, like, you know, we have this generation of filmmakers like Spielberg, Scorsese, De Palma, all of these guys who are aging, and we're probably not gonna get a lot more Spielbergs left. And I'm trying to think of, like, who's the next guy that's gonna kind of take that throne of like action blockbuster. Because Tarantino and PTA, they do their own thing, like the Scorsese level, where it's, you know, dramas, comedies. There's really no genre that you can identify with those movies. They're just brilliant movies. I think Villeneuve and Jordan Peele are the closest things that we're going to get to Spielberg ever, because they make these very high-budget films, and they're able to communicate like these human things that PTA and Tarantino can do within them. And he's so great at working with a big cast. This cast is absolutely loaded. It's Emily Blunt, Benicio Del Toro, Daniel Kaluuya is in it. Josh Brolin, John Bernthal has a crazy cameo in it. It's just, it's a fucking banger. So the tagline for it is, an idealistic FBI agent is enlisted by a government task force to aid in the escalating war against drugs at the border area between the U.S. and Mexico. There's a lot of twists, a lot of backstabbing, and there's one scene.
This is Sicario, right? This is
what you're talking about? Okay, there's one scene or sequence in particular where they have the night vision goggles on, and it might be the most thrilling action scene that I've seen in a long time. Like, I try to rewatch this movie once a year. I try to do that with a lot of Villeneuve's movies. I think he's amazing, and I can't wait for Dune 2. So he has a good relationship with Josh Brolin.
That guy, what was the movie, the thriller, the crime thriller with Justin Timberlake that came out last year that was really good? Reptile. Was it Reptile?
Yes, good? I have not seen this.
It was brought. It's on Netflix right now. You would love that, dude. You would watch that. I know Justin Timberlake. You get that bad taste in your mouth.
No,
like,
I love
Timberlake. What is JT? Dude, that is right down. It's like Sicario, but a more modern. There's like some politics in it and some crazy plot. Like, you would love Reptile.
I remember seeing this on Netflix.
And Benicio, he's nasty, and he's like that perfect like. That perfect FBI DEA agent.
Yep.
You would actually. I don't know what that got on Letterboxd and
3.0. Anything above a 3, I will gladly watch.
Yeah. Same. No, that's actually it. You should watch that. It's a solid cast, a great movie. Like, write down your crime thriller plot twist. I'm telling you, it's on Netflix. You should watch that.
Justin Timberlake, he was fire in The Social Network. I thought he turned into a good role for In Time as well. That movie where they had the time on their wrist back in the day that came out and it was slowly counting down.
Oh, I love that. Yeah,
I know. Yeah, I thought that was pretty good.
Liked him in No Strings Attached, too.
Oh, yep. Forget about that one.
Was it Friends with Benefits or No Strings Attached? I always get them mixed up.
Friends with Benefits. Yes, yes.
No Strings Attached is Kutcher.
It's Ashton Kutcher. Yep. Fun fact is
Ashton Kutcher saw Hato's dick.
Why?
Yeah.
Have I not told you the story?
No.
You have to bring him on to tell it.
Yeah, we'll have to bring him on to tell it.
Yeah, I'll tell it another
time.
Keep
me in suspense like a thriller.
The suspense is good. Cerrone's waiting here. All right, Cerrone, what's your popcorn pick?
All right, so I got, it's not a movie, it's not a TV show. In a world where, we talk about this a lot. I always have these big, I don't even know. I just talk about stuff before I say it. Athletes do podcasts horrible, right? You got Micah. I hate fucking Paul Pierce talking about bullshit. Micah Parsons is trash. The JJ Redick one is all right. There's one guy who I've been watching this the past couple weeks who does it right, and it's Pat Bev in Roan for that Barstool Pod. I don't know if you guys have ever seen that, if you ever watched that. Dude, Pat Bev and him, Roan's like rapping, they're chopping it up, they're friendly, the chemistry is like perfect. If there's one guy who did that whole like transition into Pat Bev and Barstool, is like a match made in heaven. Like, their podcast is hilarious, it's funny, it's entertaining. You also get bits of like insider information, like Pat Bev talking about Shy, talking about who's the white boy on OKC? Chet talking Josh about Giddey. All this insider and Josh Giddey insider NBA bits. But dude, every athlete who tries to do the podcast, like, it's usually trash. It usually sucks. It's usually awkward. It's usually forced. Pat Bev and this kid Roan from Barstool, they've been killing it, man. And you talk about a guy like Pat Bev who's always been a decent NBA player, but like just boosted, like that's what you got to do. It boosted his brand times like 10.
Yep.
Like his face is everywhere. His name's everywhere. Just pure like revenue. Like, that guy's probably making, I mean, fuck man, after that pod and exposure through Barstool, you could probably go out and get crazy, crazy brand. Like, that's just how you do it. And he's been killing it. And I like finally like kind of crumbled and like started tuning into that pod here and there. And dude, they kill it. They really do. The one athlete who does it right, I feel like, is Pat Bev. Just amplified his whole brand. So,
well,
check it out.
A dirty reputation amongst like NBA players and fans, especially like Paul George was talking about it. He's like, he's the ideal guy. Like, the cliche, you hate to play against him, you love to play with him. That's Pat Bev.
You want him on your team. Yeah.
When you're a fan watching, like, you hate going against Pat Bev because he's just an irritant,
he's a pest.
An antagonist,
yeah.
A pest. Right. But, like, he showed a different side of himself with this. Draymond's done a good job of this, too. He was just on the alt cast the other night for the All-Star game. I watched him and Barkley and Taylor Rooks.
Oh, that was actually hilarious. At Taylor Rooks
instead of listening to fucking Reggie Miller and Kenny Smith, who are intolerable. I like Kenny Smith for the most part, but he was bad over All-Star weekend. But I'm curious, Berg, Turner, Cerrone, all of you, if you had to host a show on the Pop Off Podcast Network with one athlete, who would your one athlete be? And I'm going to challenge you to say somebody who isn't podcasting already, at least on like another level, like Travis Kelce or something like that.
Good question.
Like, if you had to have one guy that you could chop it up with once a week on the show, you know, who's your dream guy?
That's such a good question.
Pat Bev comes across as self-aware more than I expected in his podcast. You got to find an athlete that's at least a little self-aware.
He's already on a... I was going to say... I don't think he's on a pod, but I was going to say Gronk. I mean,
That would be the dumbest podcast ever. You guys would be drunk by the end of every single episode.
There's the U of A ASU thing. It's a guy that likes to party. It's a guy that is, it's going to be a, I mean, you, all of us want some guy like joking around, shooting the shit, crack. Like, we don't want an awkward, like, I mean, Lamar would suck. Like, you can't get anything out of him.
He did cross my mind. Yeah.
Yeah, that would suck, though. What are you going to talk to Lamar about? You know, it's if I have Gronk on here, you could talk about anything and everything, whether it's alcohol and parties, whether it's fucking catching tutties from Brady, just anything. I would say Gronk. I'm trying to think of other sports.
I think the easy one would probably be, we just talked about him last night, but Blake Griffin. Like, he's a stand-up comedian. He has an interest in movies.
Yeah.
He's hilarious. Has a ton of crazy stories. Well-spoken. Was, like, a top five MVP finisher for a year. All-star. Also played role player, so he kind of knows every role.
I'm surprised he doesn't have a pod.
He might have one, but I'm not sure.
I think I got two names came to mind here. So off of Lamar Jackson, I had to jump to his ex main man, his Big Truss. Big Truss.
Oh, Mark Ingram. Big Truss.
I had to go Mark Ingram. I thought we would both be too silly, but I think two silly people on a podcast, I think that makes for really good dynamic.
That's what
plus
you want.
Completely
what you
different
want.
Background. Yeah, he'd be awesome.
And
so Mark
and
would
like
be
he,
up there.
He has CTE, and you already podcast with somebody once a week with CTE and Clark. So it's like, it's not going to be that big of a jump for you. Yeah.
Something wrong with that guy. Clark had a great weekend, though, and we can't stop talking about it. Shout out, Clark. And so my second person, in light of his recent media just bender, just doesn't know what to say this year, I think I'd go Rick Pitino. I think I'd pop him on the pod. I'm sure he has so many great stories to tell. And then he's just in his – he doesn't even know what the internet is era, and he's saying whatever he wants right now. And then the next day he's probably waking up like, what the hell is the internet? That shit stays on there? What the fuck? Because he's coming out here saying his team sucks. You know, in May he posted, these are my guys, my recruits. Like, these are my boys. Last Saturday he comes out and says, this ain't my fucking team. They don't work hard enough. Good group of guys. You know, they're good people, but they don't vertically move fast enough for me. And so I want a guy who's just changing his stances on things like that.
Very volatile.
Yeah,
That makes for a good conversation.
And he'd be a great guy.
Picks. Patino's the man. Patino so old too.
Great.
He's like old enough where, you know, the stories just come out. You know, he's just got that ability.
I doubt I'd get a word in.
Maybe John Daly. That would be just wild to sit down with John
Daly. Would be great
once a week.
I mean, this is just like, the pod wouldn't probably be like super popular, but like some people would listen to it. It'd be a chill vibe. Cody Bellinger. Let me sit down with Cody Bellinger week in, week out.
Yep.
He's
done pods with Mike Studd. He's good.
Dude, and he's just the man.
You're the man, dude. You're the man.
And then the other one, a flip side of that, like, I don't think I would enjoy it as much, but we'd get a lot of views. Would just be having sitting down with McGregor every week.
Oh shit.
Yeah, that would be insane. He would either love or hate us. He'd probably hate us. Which
would
be equally as entertaining.
I just see these celebrities kicking us off our own pods at one point. Like Patino's like, you're not the man. You're not man enough. Get out of here. He replaces me with his guy.
It's weird.
I think
though,
Ingram would stand the best chance with.
I know. I feel like
it's really missing... point though. Like all these athlete pods has like the one random white dude that kind of does like the groundwork during the week and tries to be a little bit more relatable for the audience.
Yeah, it's nice to have that guy. I could be that guy for sure,
Julian
but I'm
Edelman's
just like
he's got a pod with Sam Morrill.
You're that guy.
I might be too much point guard. Like I'm not sure if I would be able to take that backseat role. I'd be like, this is the Paul George show. My ass. Well, who, I said, yeah, I think Blake Griffin probably. I also think that like a heady center would be fun, like a Tyler Linderbaum, just to know what like it's like to exist in the Ravens locker room.
Yeah,
Whiteside would be hilarious. There's, you know, there's a lot of good guys.
Heady center, he's just like the dumbest guy I could think of.
I love Linderbaum, dude. He's the man.
No,
right, we got
Hassan Whiteside, whatever.
I think for the future, expanding this to rappers would be also be a great conversation.
We can do that next week.
What's his fucking name? What's
the Raptors head coach? Scotty Barnes.
Scotty Barnes. That was Arnold. My bad. I've been watching Arnold movies recently. I just rewatched Predator. Rips. All right, but yeah, no, we do need to wrap
Zaire
up.
Zaire Alexander.
Alexander, not
Jair,
him.
He is so much fun.
Those are going to be 20-minute episodes, and he's going to leave in a fury every single time.
But he's going to give you back and forth. He's going to have fun with it. I would still take Gronk as number. If I could sit down once a week with Gronk, I feel like that would just have an absolute blast. Yeah, Jair, that's probably a dumb pick.
That's a really good one.
Fun guys.
And he's probably one of the most fun personalities to come out of the NFL, and right now he's probably the most beloved tight end, so I don't see how people don't flock to that.
Yeah, Gronk would be just a fucking blast. It'd be a blast.
All right, this is my third time trying to wrap the pot up. We all got our popcorn picks out. We all got our spits and swallows out. We'll be back next week. Berg, Turner, you guys are taking a vacation together this week. You guys excited?
Ooh, where are we going?
We'll be able to regroup on that.
The slopes.
Yeah.
Pretty excited. The mountains called. Answered.
How's this skiing been for you, Berg? Have you been going back to skiing?
No, I haven't been back since. No, this could be my second
shot. Oh, shit.
Yeah, it's
snowboarding or skiing? You were snowboarding, right?
I was snowboarding, and I'm going to snowboard again, yeah. Yeah.
You haven't been snowboarding since.
It'll be a lot better this time. It'll be a lot better this time.
Stick with it. I think it will too. My main point of emphasis is going to be to, at the beginning last time, I would go 20 feet, start hitting maybe 15 miles per hour and be like too fast. I'd bail, just land on my ass, emergency exit.
Got
that.
A carb.
But yeah, I think this time I tried, but it was at the beginning. I got better down the road. So I think this time I'm really just going to work on stopping without falling, because otherwise you get way too tired. After my first run.
You've been watching the YouTube videos to key in?
No, I think I'm going to do that all day tomorrow.
That's been me
last
day,
just
trying to lock in.
I think I'll get the hang of it, yeah. Going with confidence is key, and then the rest is muscle
memory.
What mountain
are you guys going to?
We're going to Vail.
Yeah.
Oh, Vail's nasty. That's a good mountain.
Hopefully
we'll have some stories come out of it.
That'll be fun.
We'll have some good
stories. I'm jealous. I haven't bored in a while.
All right, we're excited to hear about it. Make sure to listen to Box Out Boys if you haven't already this week. Berg and Clark did a great job. Berg with a new mic. So the audio quality is there, baby. Hopefully Rent Money will be coming back here soon enough. I miss hearing Capture's voice on pods, man. I love that guy to death, and he's just so good at it. But Mike and I will be back with PD and Bordy and hopefully PD next Monday. We'll record Sunday night. We'll be back. I mean, good God, the guy's missed two in a row. Like, he's DNP. He's load managing, which is ridiculous. It's fucking podcast.
Yeah, he's on the chopping block.
All you gotta do is sit and talk. Yeah. That's where
Connor comes into the equation. You guys need a permanent sub for him at this point.
Literally. Like,
getting Connor.
He's practically Kawhi. But yeah, thank you guys for listening.
Yeah, but
we love you.
But when he's on.
Yeah, he's good. He's good when he's on.
Yeah, we need him on.
He's electric. He's waiters.
What's in the box?
Make sure to follow the YouTube. Make sure to share it with somebody, and we'll see you on the other side. Peace out.